It's the full shift. It's the full shift. Tom, that's breakfast. It's the full Totnes breakfast.
Oh, hello. Yes, indeed, it is the full Totnes breakfast, with a little bit of a strange advent at the beginning of that show. But look, we've got toast. Are you on the Totnes breakfast? The full one?
It's the full Totnes breakfast.
Just enough time to eat the lemon curd. I hate to tell you, but the dog's been sick. Oh, that is a real put off to coffee and toast, I have to say. But anyway, a very warm welcome to all our Totnesians and those in Dartington tuned in, and anyone else on the airwaves who want to listen to the darling of the poetry division, Kerry Priest today, who has run away from Devon and placed herself in a fabulous abode in Oxford and commutes off to London to study opera at Guildhall. Now, how posh is that? So we'll be tuning in with Kerry at 8:20, finding out, literally tuning in to what she's doing. Meantime, time for better days, I think.
Has moved away. You must face yourself and you must say, I remember better days. Don't you cry, 'cause she is gone. She is only moving on, chasing mirrors through a haze.
Days, Graham Nash. very Beatles in my mind. Something fantastic about that voice. I'm going to eke out all of that song just because we can. A bit of gazoo there. If you just tuned in, it is, well, I'll tell you. It's coming up.
Sound Art Radio.
So it is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. I'm Julie Mullen. I'm with you right through to 9 o'clock. And Martin Seeger will be coming on shortly with our weather and our traffic news. And after that, we will say hello to the goddess of seaweed over at Bantam Beach. She may not even be at Bantam Beach. We'll find out. That is weather permitting and connections permitting. I think it's time for a little bit of, Mini Ripperton.
Will somebody wear me to the fair? Will a lady pin me in her hair? Will a child find me by a stream? Kiss my petals, weave me through a dream. For all of these simple things and much more, a flower was born. It blooms to spread love and joy, faith and hope to people forlorn. Inside every man lives the seed.
A bit of Mini Ripperton to kick your day off. She's got a good voice, hasn't she? That's Mini Ripperton and Le Fleu. That brings us up nicely to the time we'll find out what's going on with our weather here in Devon. And who's driving on the road? At 8:20, we'll be talking with Kerry Priest, who will be telling us all about her operatics at Guildhall. Hello. Hello, Martin Seeger.
Good morning.
Oh, we're having problems, I have to admit, with our internet. Our internet at home has been, well, very impertinent, I'd call it.
An impertinent internet, that's for sure. All a bit more dreary today and lots of rain last night. And what they're promising are spells of patchy light rain crossing the region through the morning, but drier in the afternoon, so those staying largely cloudy with a moderate breeze developing. Bit warmer, bit milder today, maximum temperature 17, and tonight it's going to be windy with frequent gusts, particularly along the coasts, but it's going to continue feeling pretty mild.
Okay, well that's good to know. Looks a bit dreary out there, doesn't it? Or is that just my glasses are clouded up? Here's the traffic jingle. It's always low, stop it. The internet says, we can't, for some reason I can get the internet and operate the audio system and broadcasting system, but our mobile phones are refusing to work. That probably means, I wonder if Susie David has managed to get through.
That one's all right, I think we'll be all right.
Okay. We're just checking to see. So basically, on traffic, you're just going to have to go out there and test the waters. But obviously, we don't have any real news for you.
We have Susie David, though.
But we do have the traffic.
Our roving report.
Our roving seaweed reporter from the beaches.
It's a very calm little bay I'm at this morning. It's not even 8 o'clock. And there's been a gig boat being rowed past. There must be about, I don't know how many people are in a gig boat, maybe about 8 people. And out at sea, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 swimmers quite far out. They look like seals from here. And there's a couple getting out already from their morning swim. And they're stepping out of the gentle waves. It's very calm here. Very nice. Would you like to listen to the waves? Here they are. Gentle, aren't they? And across the bay, there's the illuminations, there's the lights from the public loos. It's nice, isn't it? And it's calm, it's beautiful. And I think I'm going to go in and join the swimmers. So, bye-bye, Julie.
That was Susie David just about to propel herself into the water, which sounds calm from all accounts. That's good. Thanks to Martin for the weather, and really did try to get the traffic, but perhaps we'll be able to connect with our, I'm not quite sure what's gone on with the phones, but we'll see. So, it's time, isn't it, for Johnny Greenwood. This is to get you in the mood for Kerry. Thank you. That felt like stepping stones from Susie David's seaweed report and our next step towards Kerry Priest. And that was Johnny Greenwood with Aletheia, which was totally beautiful, a really beautiful piece of music. We will be finding out what it's like to be a student again and all about her course at Guildhall. So really looking forward to chatting with Kerry then. Do we have any? No, we don't. No, it's been an impossible morning of no connection on the phone. Let's have some overtones from the same composer. Johnny Greenwood bringing us up to the Kerry Priest moment. Let's get her on WhatsApp.
Hello.
Hi, Kerry. I'm not going to do the thing of saying this is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio, but it seems I've just done it, because you are a part of this 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. Are you missing them?
Well, yes, I am, actually. I keep reading stories or having little ideas for things, and I think, oh, yeah, that would be good on the show. And then I think, oh, I'm not doing the show. So, yeah, I've taken a one-year hiatus from Sound Art Radio, but I am actually keeping a little diary of ideas that I want to implement when I get back.
Absolutely fantastic. So how is it going? You left us here in Devon for brighter, sunnier shores. Oh, look, Astrid's on too. Hello, Astrid. Welcome to the programme. And Steve. So how's it going? How did it feel to land in London on the course?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of strange to I think it felt like the end of lockdown, that's for sure. Suddenly I'm out of the village and in the big city with people all around, so there was a real high at first.
Yeah.
And then getting multiple colds and,
oh no,
that sort of thing, by being around so many people. I'm being followed by my daughter here. So yeah, it did feel like a huge, exciting thing when I arrived, definitely, yes.
And what is life as a student like at Guildhall? Because it sounds very grand to be studying opera.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, the fantastic opportunities for meeting people that you've actually heard of on the radio will just come in and give a talk, which is like ridiculous. We had Elaine Michener, who is like one of my favourite vocalists. She does kind of free jazz vocals, and then I was like, oh my god, she's actually giving a talk, this is like someone I've heard of. And then she's just going to come and give a postgraduate seminar. And then we've got Lawrence Crane coming in a couple of weeks as well, who is like extremely well-known composer who I like, so that's like amazing. Yeah,
so already it's really a kapow kind of experience right in there.
Yeah, but very much so.
So tell us about this fantastical bit of news that you posted on Facebook. Any more developments on it?
Well, yes, no. No developments, but I think it was I don't know how long it's been running, but a year ago or so, the Royal Opera House set up a programme which was to try and get more women in opera, mm-hmm. called the Engender programme. So I signed up for their newsletter, and they sent out a message saying that they were commissioning some mini operas to be put on in St Pancras Station.
Wow.
So site-specific little, basically just literally five minutes, called micro operas. Mm. So I sent in a little proposal. This is before I'd even started the course, so I didn't really know a huge amount about opera, but I just sent a proposal, and I've been selected to their commissioning workshop, which I don't know if it's the final stage. It's definitely the final stage. I don't know if it means that I've definitely got the gig, but it's pretty much going ahead, so that's really exciting.
That's incredibly exciting. I love the way that you're just out there swimming around in this information, and you find these strands that ignite and propel you, because you were like that even when you were sort of around in Devon with the theatre in Cornwall, weren't you? You were on a playwriting course at one point. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Yes. I just saw an advert for the Minnack Theatre was looking for to have an emerging playwright programme. So I just sent off a script. And I was on the emerging playwright programme at the Minnack Theatre last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it's important. I think the only thing I can say is that I do like to take opportunities, and I do like to get involved with social occasions. And, you know, it's so tempting to just stay at home and watch Netflix. But
oh God, yeah.
I think the difference between things happening and things not happening is about getting out there in the world and meeting people and
taking action.
As you well know,
it is true. Hubble bubble, toil and trouble. But actually, I'd love the listeners of Sound Art Radio to hear how you actually, how it all came about, how you came upon this course, because that's interesting too.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I think ultimately, being a poet, you're in danger of being stuck in this rather depressing cycle of just writing poems and then sending them off and then getting them rejected.
Or accepted.
It's quite a lonely it's quite a lonely process sometimes, and with a lot of rejections and so on. So anyway, I saw a comment that someone made online, which was, and they were a composer, and they were saying, God, I wish I knew more poets, because composers often want to set text to music, and they're nearly always falling back on Victorian poetry because they can't find any recent poetry that suits them.
Mm.
So this kind of got my cogs whirring, and it made me think, well, maybe I need to meet some composers and try and get into this classical world. And then at this around about that time, I just saw a distance learning module in libretto writing, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll take it and learn a little bit about it, so that I can perhaps approach some composers, and at least I'll know a little bit what I'm talking about. So I took this distance learning course in libretto, and then I saw an advert which was that the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London had scholarships available for three librettists to go and work on their MA, to do a master's in opera making. So I was like, well, okay, I'll apply. And I did manage to get in, and so I've got the scholarship, and here I am.
Well, I mean, it's enormously prestigious. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, you know, I know that for sure, because I've heard of other people attempting to get into Guildhall and not being successful. So it is a great sort of accolade, really, to your powers and to your abilities and obviously gifts. So right now in the, you know, hubbub of going to London, attending at Guildhall, what's it like being, I mean, you have your daughter Astrid and on cue she came, and Steve, yes. And this whole new life transported from Devon to Oxford and London. How is it being a student with a baby and a husband and a life and a, how does that run along?
Yeah, I am obviously missing out on some social opportunities. Not sort of the drinking variety, but of the actually making the most of London culture variety, because I have to get back home basically to see my family in the evening. So, but I am going to La Traviata tomorrow night.
Ooh.
At the Royal Opera House. So I do try and like do a few things so there's that. And then also Astrid's in full-time nursery, which is the first time that she's done this since she was born. So often I find that I've actually got more free time than I need, because Astrid's in full-time nursery, and being a student, it turns out, is not quite as hard work or as time-consuming as real life. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding I'm actually remembering what it's like to have days off where
my
you can
goodness.
Just, you know, languish and go for a walk and things like that and have a bath in the daytime, which is lovely. So after bringing up a small child, it's nice to be able to do that. So
I bet.
That's a good thing. But obviously commuting, because the reason I'm living in Oxford is amazingly a friend of mine offered to do a flat swap, a house swap. So she's in Devon and I'm staying in her house, but it's in Oxford. So I do have to commute 2 hours into London every time I go in, which is about 3 days a week.
Okay. So it's a 2 hour commute, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's rather... Right. But at least, but it doesn't matter. I can get work done.
I was going to say that you could probably do that. So what about, who are you rubbing shoulders with at Guildhall? What sort of individuals? Is it sort of students from across the world that have taken opportunities to study there?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's funny, really. It's the opera world. I mean, it's kind of, I hate to say it lives up to your expectations, but I had... we do a class, one class, which is with all of the people studying opera in the so you've got opera singers, and composers in the room with you, who must be two of the most arrogant groups of people in the entire world. I mean, it's quite funny, really. So, and the first lecture that we had was all about how you have to, like, suppress your ego in the Guildhall. It was really funny. It was literally a one-hour, like, diatribe from the lecturer about there's no room for egos in here, and you're all here because you're good enough, so stop trying to prove that you're good enough. The thing that you have to do now is be nice, because to get on in the opera business, you've got to be nice to people. So that was quite amusing.
Oh, I love that. I love the sound of that lecture. That's perfect, isn't it? Obviously, there must be a past little history, a little bit of history that people come on the course with all these expectations, and maybe it's sort of insecurity, as the lecturer said, you know, that you don't need to worry. You are good enough. You don't have to, bloat yourself out in arrogance. So it's good that they did that. What did you feel in terms of the group spirit after that particular chat? Did you feel there was a sense of deflation or?
No, it was elation in many ways. I mean, actually, just to be told that you're good enough
absolutely.
Is a hugely relieving thing in life. I mean, to be told that in any situation,
definitely.
You are good enough is, that's it really. That means phew, I can just like be myself and not try to impress people.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And then everybody was, I mean, they are all super nice. I mean, I'm painting a picture of... I'm not being really, but no. So, yeah, everyone really makes an effort to be nice to each other all the time. And that's kind of part of the whole spirit of the Guildhall. In the welcoming lecture, they were talking about how much of a friendly community it is. And it really is exceptionally friendly, you know, people opening doors and people talking to you in the by the waterside outside. And yeah, it's a very positive place to be.
So in terms of obviously rubbing shoulders with those students, you'll also not only be rubbing shoulders with them, you'll be working with them on the day-to-day, I'm assuming.
Yeah, mostly I'm collaborating with a composer. We've been paired up. So there are three librettists on the course and three composers. And it's quite interesting because the three librettists are from Britain or Ireland, whereas the composers are more... are American. Well, actually, one of them's Australian. And it's quite interesting seeing the cultural differences, actually, between British and American people in terms of what stories they're interested in and what kind of stories they want to tell. It's quite funny, really, because I think all the British people, I thought it was just a Devon thing of being interested in mythology and folklore and history and these kind of stories. But that's not of interest to any of the American composers, actually, at all. So we've all had to kind of think about other things.
What do they want to?
Which is actually good, because it gets you out of your props, which you usually stand on, to actually just try and create new stories and think of new ways of telling them. So,
what do the American composers, what story are they interested in?
I think they're quite focused on... like identity politics, which is huge in America. I mean, it's so much bigger than here, and the whole kind of culture wars. I think they're very much embroiled in the culture wars in a way that we are here, but I think as artists we often try to avoid them. So that's one thing. And then also, because they're musicians, they're much more they think much more in terms of form and structure than character. Or plot. So they'll say something like, oh, I really want to do an opera where something repeats over and over again, and then it changes at the end. And you're like, okay, what sort of world are you imagining? You know, any setting, any characters, any... And they're like, no, none whatsoever. So you're like, okay, I'll try and think of something then. So it's quite strange.
Yeah. And you said you were paired up with the composer. On what basis was that? Did you connect with them, or did they actually put you together?
Yeah, we had to we worked with everybody, and then I think we gave a list of our preferences. So
that sounds
and
good.
And then they just bunged us together at the end, so.
Yeah. And do you feel actually, is it that you're going to actually work with all of them at one point? Or
no, I'm pretty much paired now with my
And
my
so
girl.
That's for the duration of the time there?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, my composer is called Beatrice Ferreira, and she is a wonderful Canadian-American composer who does... The stuff that I've heard her do before is exactly my kind of thing, which is...
Isn't that brilliant,
sort of, with elements of minimalism, and she's a viola player, so she does some really interesting work with extended techniques, with string quartets, which is what the final opera that she'll be writing, that we'll be writing, will be for a string quartet. So I think I've picked a good one.
Fantastic, Kerry. Yeah. It really does sound so exciting. To have left Devon and catapulted yourself into London life, not just London life, but, you know, student life. So what about young Astrid? How is she faring being suddenly a full-time baby going out to nursery? Has she changed a bit?
Yeah, she loves it.
Does she?
I mean, she really likes nursery. She doesn't want to come home in the evening, so that's a very good sign. And she's at Balliol College Nursery, and they're so into child development, and, you know, they're a bit older. They're not your usual sort of, I don't know, nursery nurse. So you don't feel like you're fobbing them off on sort of a group of teenagers, which you do sometimes. So yeah, they're kind of older, quite mature, and very interested in her development. And she's so polite. Oh, goodness me. Like, we didn't even know what she was saying at first. She was going, please, please. And I was like, oh my God, she's saying please. And now she says please every time that she asks for something. And she says thank you.
Oh.
And she's like 20 months. So... I think that's pretty good.
That's amazing. Do you think at first was she, did she sort of I don't know, react to this long day and become emotional? Or was she just fine from the start?
She was really fine from the start. She's just settled into nursery so well. She's settled into nursery much more than the new house, which I think was a, you know, big change for her coming into a new place. And she hasn't slept as well as she did in Devon ever since she's moved here. But anyway, so.
But that's her dealing with
it a bit more now. But yeah,
that's sort of inevitable, isn't it? That means such a big change for her. She's so used to your Devon life and her bedroom and all that sort of stuff. So she inevitably is going to, and probably somehow reacting. You know, it's not just a normal thing, is it? What you've taken on is rather a huge task. Typical of you, I might say. But fantastic. Yes. I mean, isn't it just? I love the idea of what you're doing. I absolutely love it that you're working with a composer. You're going to be devising pieces of music. I mean, you know, this is a chance in a lifetime, isn't it, Kerry?
It really is, yes. And I just need to try and make the most of it. But I think what's really satisfying is that, because when I came, I knew it was a huge leap into the dark when I decided to do it. But I'm just so pleased that Astrid and Steve, my husband, he is really loving being back here and working in the library, and he's managed to get loads of work done on his books. So I really feel that I'm actually doing some, because I thought it was a selfish move, but actually it doesn't feel like a selfish move, which is a really good feeling.
That's so brilliant. That's oh, that's a gorgeous end to our interview, concluding that also not just, you know, you are happy and exhilarated in situ, but Steve also, and Astrid, and all the very best to you, Kerry, for the course. And we, you know what, we miss you. There you go.
Yes.
So just know, anytime you want to have a little chat, you can phone me up or, you know, make contact, and we can have a little chat on WhatsApp. So that's good. We've got this connection all formed.
I need to hear all your news as well.
Well, let's catch up later. Yeah. Let's catch up later.
Okay, then.
All right. Loads of love, though. Bye, Kerry.
Bye-bye.
Kerry Priest telling us all about student life and life in the fast lane, I would say. I think we need a little bit of, what should we have after that? I think it needs to be sort of Led Zeppelin or something. Should we have Led? Yeah, go on.
Hang me, hold it a little while. I think I see my friends coming right a many a mile. Friends, you get some silver, you get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. I couldn't get no silver, I couldn't get no gold. You know the way I'm too damn. Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I think I see my brother coming riding many a mile. Brother, you give me some silver as you get a little.
little bit of Led Zeppelin to flush out any cobwebs you might be feeling getting up so early. So we're still having internet problems. It's really strange that we can broadcast, but seemingly we can. It's going out all right, apparently. But it's been hard for Martin to access information, but we'll have a go. Thank you, Led Zeppelin. It was just great talking with Kerry Priest over in Oxford, finding out how she's doing. I'm sure they miss her on Sound Art Radio. She's a really strong part of the broadcasting picture, so all the best, Kerry, with your course. I think it is time for that jingle, isn't it?
It's the full gym, 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 Tom's breakfast.
There you go. I think it's time for What's On, don't you, Martin?
Hello again.
So look, I mean, you've been struggling with the internet.
Yeah, fortunately I found, yes, one device that I could connect to, so I've been looking things up. I mean, there's stuff we know about, of course. It's the last day of the Open Arts Studios, Totnes and Dartington, so do go and catch that if you can today to people's own studios and homes to see where they work and meet the artists, which I think is a great thing. Also, in terms of art, Fiona Green's A Passion for Colour. Again, it's the last day of her exhibition, now at the Angel Gallery at the bottom part of South Street, near the High Street there. So do go along there if you haven't seen that yet. Well worth a look. General things. I mean, there's a lot of activities out there for children, so do get on Google if your kids are at a loose end over this half-term week, because there's lots around, actually. Various dance events and so on. So many, actually, I don't think I'll list them now, but there's a lot there. Just look up Totnes events today. In terms of, there's an interesting course I thought people might want to be, you know, it's a very particular thing, but Silver Jewellery Workshop up at South Brent. So that's at the old school community centre. They're doing a taster session, 2.5 hours, actually creating some silver jewellery yourself,
wow,
which sounds fun. Ooh. That's today. So, and I think it might start soon. So, you know, shortly after the radio programme, but they may have got the time wrong. It's a little bit vague online. So that's worth looking into, if you're into silver jewellery. Tonight, well, down at the Bay Horse, they're back to doing their music sessions, and tonight is Irish session night, so that's folk music in the Snug, 8 until 10:30 at the Bay Horse pub. So if you enjoy getting your instrument out and playing with other people there, do come along. That's down at Bay Horse, down at the Bay Horse, it's up at the Bay Horse up at the top of the High Street on Siston Street. Film-wise, we've got No Time to Die continues at the Totnes Cinema. And Candyman is on tonight at the Barn, so if you're into a bit of horror for your Halloween, the upcoming Halloween, go along to the Barn Cinema at Dartington Hall. Also, just a reminder, we have mentioned this already, Robin Ince of obviously Radio 4, the Infinite Monkey Cage, working with Brian Cox, that's it. Robin Ince, anyway, he's talking at 11 o'clock. At the Totnes Cinema today, this morning, talking about his new book. I think a lot of people have booked up for that, but you never know, you might be able to get in. So that's 11 o'clock this morning.
That's the importance of being interested.
The importance of being interested is the book.
Yeah, and the only reason I can remember that is because the importance of being earnest, and then that's my mnemonic. I go, importance of being... I said the other day, enthusiastic. I thought, well, that's his next book, isn't it? First book is The Importance of Being Interested. Thank you so much, Martin Seeger, for all of that. It's good to keep us all in the loop in Totnes, Dartington, Devon Way. So we appreciate that. I think there's a John Cage. Yeah, there it is. In a Landscape. Let's have that. Sounds intriguing. I sort of chose all this music with Kerry in mind. And that was John Cage. Really beautiful piece of music called In a Landscape. Perfect piece of music to follow Kerry Priest and also the What's On from Martin Seeger. So yes, do find out about tickets and availability for the Totnes Cinema gig this morning at 11 o'clock. I think you do that via the website, although it's probably a bit late now. So in terms of Eastgate Bookshop, you probably just want to turn up and see if there are any returns. But it sounds a great gig, and I know that a few days ago it was looking a bit busy. So it's good to be kept in the loop about what's on. So that was a little bit of John Cage. It's time for Martin Seeger.
It's the full gym, 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 it's the full gym. Totnes Breakfast.
He did that lying on his back, you know. So that was basically poor old Martin has had a bad back, and last week when he was poorly, flat on his back, he came up with that jingle, so it's not bad, is it? So let's think about something to... I think we need a bit of this, actually. Oh, yeah, for our goodbye. So we'll be back tomorrow. Let me just thank everybody. So thank you so much to Kerry Priest for coming on the programme this morning and allowing us an inkling into the life of a student at the incredibly prestigious Guildhall, studying opera libretto there. So fantastic, Kerry. Thank you for being our guest today. To Susie David for being our goddess of seaweed and reporting on action at the beach. Martin Seeger, thank you so much for the traffic and the weather and the what's on. So it just leaves me to say we'll be back tomorrow with the bards. So Robert Garnham has been given the bardship of Exeter, and we'll be asking Jackie Juno for any tips. She might have some tips. What do you think? Is she going to have any tips? I hope so. So we're going to leave you with a bit of Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen. Ta-da!
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy, because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway, the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Didn't mean to make you cry. If
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo Figaro.
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah,
no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go!
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.